Well, we're going to turn now to online security. Do you ever worry about identity theft online? Have you ever had your personal information stolen over the internet? And if you have, what did you do about it? You can call us at 514-597-4500. A free call across Quebec, 877-597-4500, or text us at 22222. Now, in a moment, we're going to be speaking with an expert in computer security, and he will answer your questions. But first, we want to tell you about Caroline Séguin. This morning on Daybreak, she told us what happened to her. She's a Montrealer. She says someone in Tennessee stole her identity on Facebook. Here's part of her conversation with Mike Finnerty.
I had finished work and I got home and I went onto my Facebook through my computer. Normally I do it on my phone. And in computers, when you open up your messages, you've got a private box for people that aren't actually on your contact list. So that's why it didn't show up on my phone. And I opened it up and there was a message from a Brittany informing me that we definitely needed to talk. She had a big issue and pleased to get back to her. So I ended up getting back to her that same night. I think she messaged me back within like 2 seconds saying, you should definitely check out this Jacqueline Knight's profile.
Jacqueline Knight.
Jacqueline Knight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did that.
I did. I went onto it and at first it didn't really seem like anything much until I actually opened up her profile pictures and went through them and all of her other pictures, and she's took all my pictures saying that it was her.
What sort of pictures did she take?
Pictures like me and my dog at the dog park. My dog's name is Zorro. She had called him Zombie. She had a whole bunch of pictures of me at work, me doing different promo events.
Promo events? Is that stuff you do for work?
Yeah, I do that on the side. Like, I'm a barmaid and I do a bunch of promotional events. Like, there was one per se, a bodybuilding competition. There's pictures from that saying that it's her going to work. And I've got a picture, like there's pictures from 10 years ago almost that she had been using. This profile had been open for the past 4 years, since 2010.
She stole your life.
Stole my life completely.
Wow, that was Montrealer Caroline Séguin. Now, Caroline messaged the so-called Jacqueline Knight several times, but she received no response. Caroline also reported the alleged identity theft to Facebook, and the company never got back to her.
This day and age, Facebook has the face target or face
recognition. Yeah.
Exactly. So one would think that they would put two and two together, and especially after I found out this had happened, I've reported it and hundreds of other people have reported it for me, and Facebook has yet to get back to me, has yet to say anything, has yet to even just send me like a draft letter saying that they got my report.
Caroline Séguin talking with Mike Finnerty on Daybreak this morning. Well, Facebook did tell CBC that it wouldn't discuss the specifics of the case, but it did say that using someone else's names and photos is a violation of company policy. Facebook encourages users to report any instances of identity theft. The company also said that after investigation, Facebook would take appropriate actions, such as blocking a user's account. Information on how to do this is on our Radio News Facebook page, and that's at CBC Radio Noon. So we're asking you, have you been in a situation like this, or are you worried about it? We're going to be speaking now with Terry Cutler. He's the co-founder of Digital Locksmith. It's an IT security company based in Montreal, and Terry is willing to take your questions, so you can call us at 514-597-4500. Across the province, 1-877-597-4500, and you can text us at 22222. Terry Cutler, welcome back to Radio Noon.
Hey, Barry, how are you?
I'm well. I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned. How common are instances like this one?
It's starting to get more popular now, because back in May, I believe it was, Facebook rolled out a new technology called Search Graph, which will allow you to find things more easily. For example, I could do a search for all singles in Toronto that like apple juice, and all those people would show up. So if their profiles are unlocked or doesn't have all the security in place, I can actually start snatching some of those photos.
Wow. So, and they do that by being able to find anybody who says likes apple juice?
Right. And a lot of this happens where, let's say there's like an ad campaign that goes out that says, you know, my my father's got cancer, and if he has a million likes, we'll get him into the hospital. So all of a sudden, all these people start liking. But behind the scenes is what's called a like farm, where these scammers will have access to your wall after you've accepted that. And from there, they can start posting stuff onto your page, which your friends will see as well. And if they get looped in, then they can see photos and such on your profile as well.
And what's the advantage of it, or what's in it for them?
It's basically what happens is if they have, let's say, 130,000 likes, well, they'll be able to sell their ad page for, let's say, $10,000 to whoever wants to have access to all these people that they can scam or spam on their wall and get them to buy things.
Wow. 514-597-4500. A free call across Quebec, 1-877-597-4500. And you can text us at 22222. Now, Terry, is it primarily Facebook, or are there other social networking sites that are also affected by this?
Well, I'm mostly familiar with Facebook, so I don't use the other ones like MySpace and such. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's happening there, too. But and another way this can happen is if someone actually hacked into their account, which is very hard to do, but not unlikely, especially if they're using bad passwords, like easy passwords to guess.
Right.
And the same as if their friend had access to, let's say they were connected and the friend got hacked, well, she'd have access to the photos as well.
Right. Because my friend can see my pictures.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So what can people do to protect themselves?
So passwords are really becoming a thing of the past. It's really unsecure and such. So what's happened now is Facebook implemented what's called login approvals. So under your account security, login approvals, what happens is you enter your cell phone number there. And whenever you log into Facebook, it'll actually send you a text message to your phone saying, okay, if this is really you, type in that code that I just sent you on your phone. And from there, it gives you a double layer of security. So you don't need to worry about your password all the time.
But now,
and this also works if let's say you've logged in at home, the Facebook will remember that you use this computer. So if you go to your friend's house and log in, it'll actually resend you another text message saying, I don't recognize this computer, so just please revalidate yourself.
So I go to login approvals.
Yep.
On the
accounts.
Yeah.
Security.
Accounts, security.
And then you'll see login approvals right there.
Okay. Carolyn Séguin, I mean, it's possible that all of that information was taken from her in one visit?
Maybe. I'm not fully up to date with her case.
Right. Well, essentially somebody took all of her pictures and set up a fake identity, and basically with all of the pictures of her pet, and some promotions that she was doing, and the way she found out about it was one of her friends happened to see this.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. And I know they're stealing photos. Like, for example, there was one happened a couple of months ago where this is a picture of a girl named Mallory who has Down syndrome, and, you know, like if you want her to get help type of thing. Mm-hmm. But then her face was actually taken from a family photo, and her real name is Jessica. So it's like they're using that to collect your profile information so that they can come back and spam you later on.
And does that information go out to other people or just me?
I'm sure it can be extracted. I have no idea.
Right. And if someone has strict privacy setting protections, can you be sure that you're safe?
So this is something I've seen turn on and off on its own. So if my account, for example, is totally locked down, where people can't even see my profile pictures, then I can't really be found. So you got to have some level of security where somebody can search for you and see their profile picture. But what happens sometimes is that, let's say I have 30 albums uploaded, then I can have restrictions that nobody can see my albums. But anything that's been posted in my profile bin, sometimes people can see all that in there.
Wow. So I can see the albums through the profile bin?
Yeah, well, you won't see the albums if you don't have access to it. But sometimes if I click on the profile, maybe I won't just see your profile picture. I'll see maybe three other photo, maybe mobile uploads that you've put up there or something. Sometimes you won't just see that one picture. You'll see multiple pictures.
We're speaking with Terry Cutler of Digital Locksmith. If you have a question, 514-597-4500. Free call across Quebec, 877-597-4500. Text us at 22222. We're going to go to the phone lines now. We're going to go to Georgeville, where Michael is on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Bernie, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to report to you something that fascinated me yesterday. I was on Facebook. A friend of mine has reports funny conversations that she overhears on a regular basis, and everyone loves her for it. She started a conversation with, "Yesterday I was in Starbucks and the funniest thing kind of happened," that sort of a thing. And I responded to the post and I left Facebook and went on with my life. I came back an hour later and the very first unsolicited ad in my news feed on Facebook was a comic who has a page that tells stories about funny things that happened in Starbucks.
Huh.
So I immediately felt that I was being targeted.
Yeah. Terry, what do you...
Michael, did you click like?
Yes, I did click like.
That's exactly
not on the offered post, but on my friend's post.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how this could have been like a hijacked post. So what happens is, let's say, because you're on her friends list, she saw it, and then when you click on it, you become part of the chain.
Okay.
And then they can target you. I've seen that happen to myself as well.
So what can Michael do then? Not like it? I mean, do we not like anything?
There's one way you can do it. If you go under, I can't remember where it's under. It's under your settings, and you can look at all the likes you have. And you can actually go in there and start removing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually where I would start.
I'm wondering, Michael, I mean, it's like you suggest. I mean, to have that happen is enough to make you think about, okay, well, what's going on here? So
that's right, yeah.
How has it affected the way you're going to be using social networks?
Well, it won't affect it too much. I believe in my right to freedom of speech and so on. So,
right.
But it really is troubling when you consider that you are being targeted by unknown entities. Yeah,
they know where you are.
Yeah, and know what you like.
Oh, yes.
All right. Hey, Michael, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Bernie.
Michael in Georgeville, 514-597-4500. 877-597-4500 is a free call. And we have a text message here that says, contrary to popular belief, it's not hard to hack a password. There are programs available that can easily crack them. Simple passwords can be cracked in seconds. More complicated, the less likely you are to be hacked. Suggest to your listeners that they use a combination or capital and lowercase letters as well as numerals and symbols. A password containing close to 30 characters is much harder to hack. What do you think, Terry?
Absolutely. I totally agree. So we have tools that go in and start cracking passwords. So, for example, if I know your login name is Bernie, well, I can start typing a combination of passwords up to, let's say I have a list of a million passwords. It's going to try Bernie with password 123, Bernie 12345. It's going to go through this whole combination until it finds your password if you've got a bad password. Now, a bad password means that your password is so bad it's in this most commonly used password list. So that's where it goes back to my other suggestion earlier where go and use login approvals. It's like a double layer security where you don't need to rely on your password so much anymore. It's going to send you an actual text message to your phone, which you'll physically have.
Okay, so I'll get a message and it'll say, somebody's trying to log into your account. Is it you? Is it okay?
No, actually better. What's going to happen is it's going to send you a special code. So someone like Google sending you a code saying, use this code as your password. So you type in, say, Bernie's your username and password. I don't know, I love my cat. And then the password, the double password, will actually be that code that was just sent to you. So okay. You need to have both codes to be able to get into the account.
Okay. I don't. That's first time I've heard about that. I don't know that a lot of people are aware of it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, do you think that sites like Facebook and Google could be more proactive in securing people's privacy?
I know they're always trying to get a hold, but it's very hard to accommodate, you know, a worldwide system where everybody's got different privacy laws. Where do you find the middle ground? So I'll give you an example. One of the things that we investigated a couple of months ago where this woman was scammed on a local purchasing site. She was buying One Direction tickets, and she got scammed. So what happened was I contacted her, and what we did was we created a plea email to the scammer saying, you know, please, I haven't told my daughter that we're not going to be going to the concert and I'm losing $650. Here's a Word document which has all my banking information, which is fake, of course. Just please give me back my money. But what happens is when this scammer opens up my document, there's tracking devices in them, which actually tells me on the map, puts a little pin on his house where this guy is. But the problem that we're having with law enforcement right now is that it's hard for them to get a warrant because they can't prove without a shadow of a doubt that this person was behind the screen.
Right, so they can track the location, but they can't identify the person.
Exactly. Now, here's a perfect example of privacy law. I can have access to my software where I would send you, let's say, an Excel file, which if you opened up would actually enable your webcam, take a picture of you, and actually send it back to me. So now I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are behind that screen. However, I just violated privacy laws.
Right. Wow. 514-597-4500, 877-597-4500. You can text us at 22222. Now, Terry, we found out this summer that the American Security Agency, the NSA, knowing all about our email information, I guess realistically, I mean, how safe can we be online?
This is a tough subject because, I mean, I could definitely see the use of it for investigation purposes, and I don't, like, for me personally, I don't care if they know the endpoints of who I'm talking to. So if it's coming from Montreal to someone in Singapore, I don't care, but I care about their reading the contents of it. But if it did flag things like, you know, terrorist threats or things like that, and all of a sudden get flagged for this, I could see that working perfectly. But having access to every single thing, It's amazing.
Yeah. We have a text message. A listener asks, if law enforcement can't act, can we send the offender a server destroyer?
Yeah, we can do, like, obviously, if we were to break the law, I can actually format the guy's hard drive if I wanted to. But the way it works is, and this is the beauty with some of the software we're using, is we have a technology that we developed called Active Defense. And what happens is it's used to track hackers as they're coming to attack your company. And when these hackers land into our system, they actually steal these documents that look like they're password files and such. But when they open it, it actually gives me back their GPS location of where their computer is on the map. So if I go to law enforcement and say, here's the IP address, here's the port number, here's the latitude and longitude of where this guy is, start your investigation. That is right there. That's a huge step.
Right, but then again, I still have to establish that it's that person who was doing it.
Exactly, that's the hardest part. And I'm, you know, I've been having discussions with SPVM because this is the crime of the future. I mean, if you can't, we have to solve it now.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bruce is on the line. Hi, Bruce. Whoops. We don't.
Hi.
There you are. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
You're an Eastman.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I got a weird question. How do I get off Facebook?
Yeah, okay, so here's the funny thing. So at the beginning of the year, I actually deleted my Facebook account. And what was interesting is that I think it was 5 months later when I went back on it, I was able to re-enable my profile. So I don't think you can ever really disappear.
So you had been taken yourself off.
Yeah.
And then when you did you need a special password or anything to reopen your profile?
Yeah, well, you sort of like you can go retrieve your information. It asks you a ton of questions there.
Yeah.
And then just go ahead with it. But what's funny now is that so back then I had over 4,000 connections. So people were adding me because they hear me on the media or whatever it is. But now what's happening is because I re-enabled it and I tried to re-add some of my old friends, Facebook thinks I'm scamming or spamming people by adding random people. And it's the second time it deactivates me for 30 days.
Hmm.
So it's interesting.
So, Bruce, have you? What makes you want to disconnect or log off?
Well, the reason is every day I'm getting messages with I've got another friend and another message. Well, I don't have that many friends. This has gone on for so long.
Yeah. And so...
All I wanted was get rid of it.
Right. You can get rid of it, but then unless you want to try to reactivate it, can anybody, Bruce, find it? Terry, I mean, if he says, okay, I'm closing my account, how does it remain active?
I'm not sure if they changed it recently, but when I deleted it, I always had to type in my password, and then there was a 2-week grace period making sure I didn't want to change my mind. And then after that, it went offline. And then again, when I went to re-enable it, it asked me a ton of questions. So, your goal is to permanently delete the account, right?
Yes, and all it says is write Van Nuys, California.
Yeah, so if I were you, I would just do a search on Google how to permanently delete my Facebook account. There's tons of articles on there and YouTube videos on how to do it. I can't remember exactly how it was done last time. But it, you know what? It's not easy to find. You had to really dig deep inside the pages to get this thing.
So Google how to permanently delete. Bruce, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
All righty.
Okay. That's Bruce from East Maine, that's up LG2 way. Now, another listener text message. Problem is with tracking using an IP address. I could hack into your Wi-Fi, hypothetical, of course, with my laptop while sitting in my car. Again, use secure and complicated passwords.
Yep, that's another way to get around that. So, so here's how. I can't go into too much detail about this part because it's technical. But yeah, that he's absolutely right. That if I pulled up to somebody's Wi-Fi and actually hacked in, mm-hmm. I would actually become someone who's ever inside this house.
Right, and then you'd have access to everything that person.
Exactly. I would use his IP address, or I would use his network to do damage on Facebook and these other users. So if ever law enforcement showed up, they would say, "Oh, this house in Montreal used it," when in fact, you know, maybe it was in somewhere else.
How frequent is that?
It can happen fairly frequently because sometimes people use the same password that you use when you go and buy your router at Best Buy.
Right.
They leave the default configurations. And when you do that, I mean, everybody—that means everybody's got the same password. Whoever doesn't change it, so which is admin. And if that's the case, then you have full access to the whole network. I can actually reconfigure it and even eavesdrop on other computers that are in the house.
Wow. All right. Well, you've given us lots to think about, Terry. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Terry Cutler. He's a co-founder of Digital Locksmith. It's an IT security company based here in Montreal.